Matthew chapter 9, and I have preached this message once before. I've been praying and asking the Lord what He would have me to preach today, and I was pretty sure I knew what the Lord wanted me to preach, and then Brother DeFerio's last point of his sermon really just tied it in and cleared it all up for me, and the Lord knows what He's doing. The Lord, you know, the Lord's telling Brother DeFerio what to preach, and He's working on my heart, telling me what to preach. And it's no coincidence. And you go to like special meetings, like Youth Ablaze or the Blowout, or other places where a lot of times messages kind of weave together and they work together in unison, because usually God has something in particular He's trying to get your attention with. I mean, there will be times where I'll be listening to preachers throughout the week from other church services across this country, and they're so similar to the message that we just heard in our church. Because so many times, the message that God has for the church as a whole across this nation is the same message. Because He wants us to be working together, not just in as the local church separately, but we're supposed to be working together with other churches as well and winning this world. And I'm going to be preaching today on a labor of love, a labor of love. Some of you have, like I said, already heard this message. I preached this. It was a charge message that I preached for the Harvard Fest Blitz last year. And I believe this is what the Lord wants me to preach. It's something that the Lord has really been dealing with me. He's always dealing with me about this. And He should always be dealing with you about this, because this is one of the hardest things that we deal with in our Christian life, in the Christian battle, and that is being a witness for Him. And we got street preaching that's going to be starting up next month in April, and I hope you're getting prepared and getting ready. And maybe some of you have never done it before. Pray about it. Say, hey, you know what? I've never done this before. Maybe I should try it this year, and try some street preaching. Go on some visitation. Maybe step out at work, step out at school, wherever you may be, and be a public witness for the Lord. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. You know, our desire as Christians is to have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to seek out the heart of God and find out what God's desire is, what He believes and what He thinks, and we are to conform our lives to that same thinking, that same mind. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion." He was moved with compassion on them, "because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." And so I'm going to be preaching today on a labor of love, because you know what? The Lord is looking for more laborers to go out into the harvest. Are you moved with compassion when you see the multitudes? Listen, we go out every day. We go to the stores. We go to Walmart. We go to grocery stores. Listen, we're amongst people, we're amongst crowds, multitudes all the time. And do they just pass on by? Do you have a compassion for souls when you see them going by? So many times we forget what they really are. I was teaching the Sunday school lesson this morning on Amos, and just talking about how there is a famine of the word in the last days. And you know what? There's a famine of the word today. But it's our job to go out there into the world and preach the gospel. But there's not a lot of people doing it. There's a famine. Where churches are closing, pastors are either passing away or stepping down, and there's a famine in the land for God's words. And are you moved with compassion when you see that? Do you see people for who they are and their souls on their way to a devil's hell? And many times we don't. Many times they're just another person walking by. Either they're in the way or we're just moving alongside them trying to get to the same destination. when we need to have the same mind as Christ here and be moved with compassion when you see these people. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is going to be where I'm going to be preaching out of today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We are the laborers, folks. We are the ones who are supposed to be going out there and telling people about Jesus and giving the gospel. That's our job. The labor of love that I'm going to be preaching about tonight, guess what? That duty, that labor, that's us. That's us. And so let's make sure that we have the right mindset when we approach this service tonight. And are you moved with compassion? And if you're not, how do you see people? Let's make sure that we have the right mindset when we see those people out there. Let's pray and get ready for the Lord to just speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I love you. I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I just pray that you would work in a mighty way here tonight. Lord, I'm just a vessel here to be used by you, and I pray that you would use me and speak through me. Allow the Holy Spirit to have free reign and guide and direct me to how to preach and what to say, but also have free reign in this building, and that you would just speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, they're here tonight to hear from you, not from me. Lord, I'm just a vessel to be used, just a voice, Lord, that you would have me to lift up for your glory, what you would have for your people to hear. And I just pray that you would be honored and glorified through it all. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the first thing we're going to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, for we are the laborers together, for we are God's husbandry, you are God's building. And I'm going to kind of preach this in a little bit of a... I am going to go in order, but I'm not going to go in order. You are the laborers, and based on that being you are the laborers, the first point I want to preach on is you are the harvesters. You are the harvesters. We're going to stick with an H theme here, the letter H, but you are the harvesters. We are the laborers, like I was mentioning before. It's our job to go out there and tell the gospel to a lost world, and you know what? There are a lot of people out there who are ready to get saved, but there's not enough people going out there and harvesting. We're not going out there and doing the things that we're supposed to be doing and being that witness. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. It's one of the last commandments that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, gave to us. And it's one of the commandments that we seem to follow the least amount of. To not follow the most. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Listen, that's our job. We are the laborers. We are the harvesters. It's our job to go out and preach the gospel. And I understand that it's the man's job to preach. But ladies, you can also be a witness. We're not talking about you preaching to men and telling men what they should be doing. We're talking about telling others about the gospel, the glorious, the good news about what Jesus Christ has done for them. And they just don't know it. They just don't know that Jesus Christ already died for their sins. And it's up to us to reveal it unto them. Why? Because the devil has blinded their minds. And he wants them to go to a devil's hell. And it's up to us to bring them that light. To show them that light. Going into all the world to preach the gospel, you know what? As the harvester, you know what a harvester has to do? They have to do a lot of work. There's a lot of work that has to be done. And guess what? Being a witness is not easy. It requires work. But what are we afraid of in Laodicea? Work. You like being comfortable. You don't mind going to work and making a good paycheck to make your life more comfortable, but let's not make anything else more uncomfortable. And let's not be uncomfortable. We're already uncomfortable, working hard, bringing home the money, and we want to be comfortable the rest of the time. But guess what? You're not supposed to be comfortable the rest of the time. There is more work to be done than just at the place of your occupation. There's work to be done outside of that. As a Christian, Our life does not revolve around our occupation on this physical earth. It revolves around the real work, which is being a harvester and a laborer for Jesus Christ and getting the gospel out. And we lack in that in so many places. You are the harvester. There is work to be done. Listen, it takes work to pray for the lost. That's work. Praying is work. It shouldn't be, but for us who still live in this flesh, we have to fight our flesh and say, you know what? Put yourself down and say, you know what? I will pray for the lost. I need to pray for the lost. There are souls out there on their way to a devil's hell, and they need our prayers. You need to be praying for the lost. You need to be praying for a burden, praying for a burden for souls. You know, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, the dog says, pray ye therefore that the Lord will send forth laborers into his harvest. And for some of you, that's one of the scariest verses in the Bible because you're afraid to pray that prayer because you're afraid the Lord might call you to do something.
Come on.
And as a Christian, that is what we're expected to do. Amen. You're supposed to be praying for laborers, and if the Lord does ask you to do something, then you should be taking that with joy and say, I get to do something for the Lord. This isn't an I have to relationship. This isn't an I have to religion. This is I get to. The Lord saved me and my wicked self from hell, and I get to be a witness for him. I get to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, but we don't want to pray that prayer because we're afraid that the Lord might ask us to do something. But yeah, you are supposed to be doing something. You're a harvester. There is work that needs to be done. You need to be praying for the lost. It requires work to pray for that burden, to pray for conviction, to pray for hearts to be softened to hear the gospel, praying for opportunities to be a witness. Many of you don't pray for an opportunity to be a witness. And when that opportunity comes, you're not ready. Many times we're not willing to pray about opportunities, and then when, by chance, an opportunity shows up for you, which happens all the time. As a Christian, opportunities should be all the time. Because there's a lot of lost people out there. You need to be praying for those opportunities, and when God gives you one, you go through that door until it closes. And until they shut that conversation down, you pursue it. It takes work to study. It takes work to study and memorize verses about salvation, about the blood, about the resurrection, about eternal security. You know, it takes work to study and memorize scripture to be a good witness. Are you ready for the work? You're a harvester. You're called for work. You're a laborer. You're supposed to be working hard. Are you doing the work that you're supposed to be doing? Listen, when it comes to work and your occupation and you get new responsibilities and new tasks at work, you know what happens is you work hard to master those things. So and do well at those things. Why? Because you're hoping that you get recognized by your bosses and say, yep, you learned this, you've adopted this new task, and you've done this well, and you're training others, and you know what, you're doing a good job. You know what? And you work hard. Why? Because you're hoping they'll recognize that and give you a raise and get you rewarded for the work that you put into your craft and your job. Well, guess what? You need to be doing the same thing with being a witness. With being a harvester, there's work to be. You have to work hard and study and memorize the Bible and study God's word. If you're going to be a good witness for him, you have to put in some work. You have to put in some effort. You ought to be ready to answer questions. Listen, we have God's word available to us. There is no excuse. The only problem you're going to have is that you don't make time to get in this word. Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Amen. You need to be able to answer every man. And if you're afraid to be a witness because you're afraid you might not have the answers, are you studying your Bible to get those answers so that you're not afraid? There's work that needs to be done. Are you putting in the work? You're a harvester. You're a laborer. There's work that needs to be done. You need to be ready to testify. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. ready to testify. Listen, that means that when it comes to being a witness and lifting up your voice, when that opportunity comes, you do it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You need to be instant, in season, out of season. Listen, if you're not ready, if you weren't planning, listen, majority of the time, let's face it, you're not planning on witnessing to somebody. You have a task, you're going out to the store, you're going to get everything accomplished on your list, get everything on your list, go to the cash register, pay for it, get in your car, and go home. That's your plan. And because that's your plan, you're not ready to testify. But no matter if you are planning on it or not, you need to be ready. Listen, we have street preaching, we have visitation, we have things planned for you to be to testify and to be a testimony to a lost world. We have things scheduled so that you can work together with other people and to be a witness, but that's not the only place you're supposed to testify. Right. You need to be testifying on your own. It's work, guys. It is work that you need to be doing. In a generation in Laodicea where people want to be comfortable, they don't want to deal with an awkward conversation, well, guess what? That's your job. That is what you are called to do as a laborer of Christ. You need to be ready to put in the work and put in the time. No matter when and where you are, being willing to spend time with them, that's the thing no one likes to spend. People like to spend money. They like to buy nice things, but you don't like to spend time. You don't like to spend time with someone. Well, I'm on a schedule and I got to get things done. And if I get everything planned right, then I can make it home so I can have dinner and relax and watch my TV show or play my game or whatever else that or ever other entertainment you have planned. But if I stop right here to talk to this person about the Lord, that's going to throw off my schedule. It doesn't matter when or where, in season, out of season. You need to be ready to spend time. Because that's the most important thing. Listen, whatever your plans are for the day, whatever plans you have for the week, if you're able to be a witness and that person, and you take the time and spend time with them and they get saved in that moment, it's going to be far greater than anything you had planned. Anything you have planned. It's worth it to spend time and see them get saved and see another one pulled from the fire. Be ready to testify. It takes work. And lastly, be willing to disciple them. That's more time. Amen. That's more time. Listen, it's not our job just to see that they get saved. And it's not just the pastor's job to make sure that they're discipled. It's your job as well. How many times does the Apostle Paul talk about his son in Christ and being and lifting them up and teaching them how to live the Christian life? Listen, those people that you win to the Lord, you're their spiritual parent. You've shown them the way and showed them the light. And you should be willing to show them. Listen, I get it. There are some people who don't know a lot about the Bible. But you know what? You guys can study the Bible together. Learn the Bible together. And you know what? And seek counsel when it's needed. But you should be willing to take time. It takes work to train a new convert. It takes work. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes prayer. And you know what? You may make sure that you're praying and making sure that you're not teaching them something that's wrong. Making sure, and listen, maybe that's your fear. Well, I don't want to teach them something that's wrong. Well, how about you figure out what you know and what you believe? Once again, that brings us back to work, studying your Bible. Why do you believe what you believe? Get in the book. Find out why you believe it. So you can tell others why you believe it. And then let God reveal the change that's needed. Listen, God did a work in us when we got saved and revealed unto us what we needed to change in our lives, whether what to dress, how to talk, or how to live the Christian life. And you know what? God is the one who does the changing. And you need to make sure that you're spending plenty of time and being patient in prayer and let God reveal the change needed to them. You can help and you can guide. And maybe they ask you, say, hey, well, you have this standard. Why do you have this standard? And should I be doing that too? And you can give them advice and tell them, hey, this is what the Lord's told me to do. And if you think the Lord wants you to do that, then guess what? You can do that until the Lord tells you otherwise. But other than that, let the Lord reveal to them what they need to do and change in their life. It's God who does the changing, not us. You are the harvesters, and there is a lot of work to be done. It takes work to pray. It takes work to study. It takes work to testify. And it takes work to disciple. Listen, you're the husbandry. We're the husbandry of the vineyard. And you know what? You got to keep up that vineyard. When that fruit starts to grow and you start to bear some fruit in your life, guess what? You don't just leave that fruit out in the wild. You got to pull the weeds. You got to help. You got to help and keep that garden growing. You're supposed to be that husbandry as part of the harvester. There's even more work to be done when someone gets saved. But you need to be willing to put in that work. You are the harvesters. That is your calling if you are saved here today. Number two, you are the helpers. You are the helpers. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 9. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We are laborers not alone, but together. You are helpers. Listen, we're not out there to work alone. You know, there will be times when some people will be called to a ministry and they're on the road a lot of times. But you know what's usually behind them? There's a sending church. There's people that help give finances. There are people who are behind them who are praying for them. Listen, there are helpers in the ministry. And guess what? We are helpers. We're not supposed to be working alone. We need to help each other. Listen, all of us have different strengths and different weaknesses, and we can help pull each other up, pick each other up, and help each other in the work that needs to be done. There's a lot of work as a harvester, but guess what? We're here to help each other out with that work. Turn back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, the very first institution that God made here was between a man and a woman, the couple. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Listen, it's not good to be alone. It wasn't good for Adam to be alone. There's work to be done. There were things that he was going to be doing, and God saw that he was alone. He said, you know what? It's not good for him to be alone. And so God brought the woman and put him in his life to be a helpmeet and to help him. And you know what? As a great partnership in your life. And those of you who are married in here, your spouse and your husband or your wife, they're there to help you in the ministry. They should be helping you. You guys should be working together and to raise your family together under God and under his leadership and under in this book and working together in that, not fighting against each other, but working together. God does not intend for us to be alone. He gave the man and the woman and brought them together to work together. So he brought the couple. We have the couple that is to work together, to serve the Lord together. Not only do we have a couple here, we also have the church. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He didn't just also institute marriage, but he brought forth the church. Why? Because it's not good for us to be alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verses 12 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, it says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Listen, we are one body. We are come together as a church. God instituted the church. Why? So that there would be many members, but we can work together in this field that we've been put in. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And you know what? God made the church so that we could work together to encourage each other. Why? Because there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. And listen, we all have different body parts. We're all parts of the body of Christ. And we all have a role that we need to play. All right? Everybody has something different than somebody else to contribute. But everybody has something that they can contribute. We need those who can preach. We need those who can pray. We need those who can praise. We need those who can prepare. We need those who can protect. We need those who can perform. And we need those who are proven. Those who have been faithful and been around for a while, and you see the wisdom. They've proven, listen, they're going to stick through it no matter what, and they're still serving God today, and they're the saints of this church. You know what? Listen, we need all of those things. If you think that, oh, I have nothing to contribute anymore, I'm too old to do anything. No, we see your faithfulness. We see that you're still here. You care enough to keep coming to church, to keep being here, and we get to look. Listen, I want to be like that someday. I want God to still find me going to church when I'm 70, 80, 90 years old, still praising God and giving him all the glory because it was worth it. It was worth it. We need every single one of those things here. Everybody has a different role to play, but we need those things to see the faithful there. And the collective. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We have the couple, we have the church, and we have the collective. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's not just a body of people and a body of members just gathering in one building. That's not what makes this work. Because everybody has a different mindset. We have some of us have a little bit different beliefs, but we should all still have the same core beliefs, the same doctrinal beliefs. That is what unifies us in this church here in Emmanuel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verses 9 through 10. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. It says the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Corinth and saying, listen, you need to be of the same mind. What? Perfectly joined together. Why? Because there's work to be done. Listen, we can all work and understand. We have the same goals. We believe the same thing. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again from the dead the third day according to the scriptures. We understand that we need to be baptized. That's the obedience that we follow after salvation. We understand, listen, it's our job to be a witness to this world. We're not Calvinists here. We're not believing that they're just going to show up on their own whenever they feel like it. No, it's our job to go out there and win them. Listen, Jesus Christ does the saving, but he has made you the vessel and you the tool to go get them, to be that voice unto them. Coming together in unity, in one mind, working together. Listen, in April, next month, we're going to be starting street preaching, and that's just one aspect of the public ministry of Emmanuel Baptist Bible Church. But we can work together and put a big push out into our communities. Maybe you really struggle with it, doing it on your own. But guess what? As a collective, as a church, We can go out together in strength and encourage each other and say, hey, you know what? There's nothing to be afraid of. If you have a hard time talking to people, maybe you could just hold a sign. You could just pass out tract. But you can do something, and we'll be right behind you. We'll be right there with you to keep make sure that nothing's going to happen to you. But ultimately, God is the one who's going to make sure that nothing happens to you. God is going to be the one who is your protector. He's your defender, and he is the one who is watching over you. And there's nothing to worry about because you have God on your side. But we're laborers together, working together. And lastly, you are the houses. What do you mean we're the houses? You're the houses. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. And ye are God's building. We are God's building. Listen, Christ lives in you. You are the temple of God. He is living and dwelling inside of you. He wants to use you to be a light for him, to be a voice for him. He dwells in you. You are his house. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God. Of the living God. And as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Listen, you are the temple of God. He dwells in you. How are you taking care of your temple? Where are you taking your house? Where are you taking your building? Listen, you're supposed to be the house of the Lord, and the Lord dwells inside you, and I hope you're taking care of yourself, and you're doing the work that is necessary to prepare your house. Because he's living in you. You're not your own anymore. Listen, we have free will, and the Lord lets us do anything that we want, but listen, you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price, and you are not your own. The Lord bought you. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I just wonder sometimes, I sit there thinking about some of the places you take the Lord with you. Some of the places that you go, and you know you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you, and you have Christ inside you, and he's telling you, you shouldn't go there. You shouldn't do that. Where do you take him some places? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are God's. And you need to remember here, just quit living for yourself. The reason why we're not willing to put in the work and put in the effort to be the laborers and be the harvesters and do the work that's necessary to do is because you keep living for yourself instead of for him. Right. And you're like, oh, well, that's easy to say. I go to church, and that's good. Great. I'm glad you go to church. Well, I read my Bible most of the time. Well, I'm glad you read your Bible most of the time. And I pray a little bit, and I pray more on Wednesdays when it's prayer meeting. Well, I'm glad that you pray a little bit. But that's not what your life, every moment of your life as a Christian, as a moment-by-moment decision to put yourself down, say no to yourself, and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you have me to say? What's next? But most of us here, most of you here are just living to make yourself comfortable, and then you add God on the weekends. You add God on the Wednesday nights. And say, well, I'm a Christian. I live for the Lord on certain days of the week. But where are you the rest of the days of the week? You're the house of God. God is dwelling in you, and you're not your own, but yet you keep living like you own your own vessel. You keep living like you own everything that's a part of you. You know, I did this illustration next door. I had two pitchers. I had one pitcher of water, good, clean water right here. And then I had a picture of some yellow, kind of tainted water. And then I have a cup right here in the middle. And you know what happens is you wake up in the morning and you're a little tired. And you decide, you know what? I'm tired. I need to get some coffee. If I start praying, I'm going to start falling asleep. You know what? I'm going to hit the snooze for 10 more minutes. You know what? You just poured a little bit of yourself into that cup. And then the next decision you make is like, well, now I'm running late. I definitely don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible. And so I need to get going. I need to get dressed. I need to hop in the shower and get going to work. It's important that I get to work on time. You just keep pouring a little bit of yourself into that cup. And eventually, it starts to roll. And it keeps happening as you keep pouring yourself throughout the day into that cup. And then finally, you know what? You said, you know what? At the end of the day, oh, I didn't do anything for the Lord today. I need to get some Bible reading. I need to get some prayer in. And you know what? You try to pour some of that into your cup, and your cup's already full. You filled it with yourself all the day. And you know what happens? You don't have enough room for God in your life because you kept filling yourself up with your own ideas and your own thoughts and your own activities, and you didn't have enough time. You didn't have enough room for God. You are God's building. You need to make sure that you are emptying of self and making sure that you're making a decision that you say, you know what, when I wake up in the morning, whether I'm tired, whether or not what's going on, I need to start my morning and say, Lord, protect my mind, protect my heart, help me to be a good witness for you, and start pouring God into your life every morning, every day. And you know what? It requires work. It requires a lot of effort to do that, putting yourself down. But you know what? It needs to be done. It needs to be done. And listen, as the house of God and having Jesus Christ inside you, one of the greatest things that you have about knowing that Jesus Christ is inside you is that he's with you everywhere you go. And yeah, you may go to some places you shouldn't, but you know what? When you do go to the right places, when you go to that street corner, you go and you step out by faith into something that you normally do and you're not comfortable with. And I'm not good at being telling people about Jesus Christ, but I know this person is struggling. You know what? I'm going to say something to them about the Lord and try to help them a little bit. And you take that step of faith, and you know what? Christ is right there with you. He's right there with you to help you. He's right there by your side. Look at Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans chapter 8. There's nothing to be afraid of. Not when you have the God of the universe on your side. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You've been justified, you've been made whole, and you got the glory of God in your life, and you have Jesus Christ, and you're carrying that with you everywhere you go. Listen, who's going to be against you? Who's going to stand up against your God? No one. Don't let fear be an option in your life. Don't let it be an option. There is nothing to fear. Listen, fear, majority of the time, is all it is that will never come, that thing that you fear, majority of the time, never comes to fruition. But you give in to it. Don't give in to that fear. You need to be giving in to that Holy Spirit and that still small voice that says, hey, listen, they need some help. Hey, they need Jesus in their life. And be that witness and take that step of faith and do what you're not comfortable with in an uncomfortable world. But guess what? That's what you're called to do. You are the harvesters. It's our job to go out there and labor and put in the work and put in the effort for the Lord Jesus Christ, for His glory, not for our own, not for ourselves, because then it's all in vain and it means nothing, but it's for Him. But it takes work, praying for the lost, studying your Bible, getting in the Word, knowing your Scripture, why you believe what you believe, ready to testify, willing to disciple. You are the harvesters. There's work that needs to be done. Are you putting in the work? You are the helpers. Listen, He's put us together. He's put us together. He's put you together. For those of you who are married, He's put you together to help each other. He's put us together as a church that brings us together with many other people, with many other parts that offer so many different things. But He also brings us together in the fact that we can be unified under one mind, under the same belief, and go out there and encourage each other and strengthen each other. And we're also the houses of God. And you need to remember, you're not your own anymore. You are God's. You are the Lord's. Stop treating this vessel like it's yours. And give it solely and fully over to Him. Let's prove our labor of love to God. That we're willing to put in the work to be that help and to keep our bodies clean and to go where He wants us to go. Let's prove our labor of love to the Lord. Let's prove our labor of love to a lost and dying world that's on their way to a devil's hell because the devil has blinded their minds and they're all following each other into a devil's pit, into a devil's hell. Listen, you need to make sure that you're praying that you have the mind of Christ, you have the mind of God, and see for people for who they are, not just a wicked, abominable a day that we live in, but see them for what they are as their blinded souls walking into a devil's hell. Who's going to bring them the light? That's your job, to bring them the light and show them there's a better way. And that's Him. That's Jesus Christ, and He is worthy. He is worthy. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You so much for working in our hearts. Lord, spring's coming. Lord, there's work to be done, not just the physical work outside, but Lord, there's work to be done in a spiritual manner. Lord, help us to get busy for You. Help us to remember why we're here. We're here not for ourselves, but to give You glory. Lord, I just pray You'd work in the hearts of Your people. You'd work in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Andrew.